Here, Rabbi Yisai, good morning. Good Erev Shabbos. Let's learn. We're up to Perek Chof Gimel. Perek Chof Gimel. Okay, we're up to Pasek Yud Gimel. Pasek Yud Gimel. Perek Yud Gimel, Pasek Yud Gimel. Uvin V'A. Perek Chof Gimel, Pasek Yud Gimel. Uvin V'A. Shoyman Risi Sifla. Hashem says that I've seen among the prophets of Shemim, we're going back over here 200 years. Yirmiyah did not live during the time of the Malchus of Shemim. Malchus of Shemim was long gone by the time Yirmiyah came around. But over here he's giving you, Hashem is reviewing the history of Klal Yisrael. So we all started with the Malchus of Yehuda, the Malchus of Yisrael, the Malchus was divided at the time of Rechavam, the son of Shlomo, between Yeravam ben Nevat. Yeravam ben Nevat took for himself the 10 Shvatim, and Yehuda and Binyamin remained under the authority of Shlomo's son Rechavam. The capital of Yisrael was the city of Shomron. Shomron was like the Yerushalayim of the Malchus of Yehuda. So here it says, I see among the prophets of Shomron, Reisi Sifla, foolishness. Sifla, it's very interesting that the same word, here's another example where we use this word, where one word can mean the two opposites, all depending on the vowels. Yishrash, probably the most classic example is Yishrash, Yisharesh. Exact, the same exact letters can mean two opposite things. Yishrash means it will take root, and Yisharesh, it will be uprooted. Tifla has the same letters as Tifilah. There's no greater communication, there's no greater form of expression between man and God than Tifilah. Tefillah is to communicate with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and all of that it connotes. Tiflah is the complete opposite. The same exact letters with different vowels, the complete opposite, the ultimate form of foolishness, where a person does things, his expression, his speech, and his mannerism and everything, his hashkafa, is 100% in denial of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The main fault of Shomron was the worshipping of the Baal. They are the ones, Achav and all the people, the main chait of the entire thing was founded on the agolos, the egle hazav, the calves in Basel and in Don, and in order to prevent Klal Yisrael from going up to Yerushalayim. And here the expression that is used to describe, if you want to summarize the entire Malchus of Yisrael and the false prophets, it's Reisi Sifla. I see Sifla as opposed to what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from us is Tefila. Also notice Tefila, something which we commonly is Shemiah. Shemaya Tefila. Hashem listens to Tefila. But when the Tefila turns into Tifla, there's nothing to listen to. Instead it becomes Re'ia, Re'isi Sifla. Okay, so notice, Ein Edoimesh Shmiah L'Re'iyah. The Chazal always contrasts these two concepts, listening versus seeing. And we have Tefillah versus Tifla, two opposites. And notice that when it comes to Tefillah, it's always listening. And when it comes to Tifla, foolishness, nonsense, it's Re'isi, I see. Shmiah doesn't just mean, no, when Chazal say, Ein Edoimesh Shmiah L'Re'iyah, so the similar interpretation is a picture is worth 1,000 words. Seeing is infinitely greater than seeing is believing, infinitely greater. You see the entire picture, there's a certain perception. But that's not necessarily what Chazal mean. I mean, that's one interpretation. But Ein Edoimesh doesn't say anywhere in Chazal that Re'iyah is better. All it says is Ein Edoimesh. You can't compare Shmiah L'Re'iyah. They're different. They're different. You can't compare apples and oranges. They're two different. They're two different.
I don't know where the context is in that statement.
But what is Shmiah?
It's logical that it would be superior.
It's superior in when trying to describe. In describing, well, that the question is, how do you define the word Shmiah? If the word Shmiah is defined listening, and the purpose of the listening is in order to collect information, in order to describe, you want to describe what does something look like, so you can describe it in words, and you can describe it with a visual representation.
That's not how I
think it's too strong. I think it's the sound.
How I would understand.
No, look, here we go. Sure, let's go over here.
Something you heard versus something you saw.
Something you heard versus something you saw.
You're testifying that.
Right. Right. And, right. So that's right. It was something, and it's correct. But
you see this, but I've seen it.
What is Shmia? Shmia sometimes is used simply as a reference to you're collecting information. I want to know what it looks like. Does it look like, is it a square, is it a triangle, is it a rectangle, is it a pentagon? I want to know the shape. So someone can describe to you, it has a line like this, a line like this, a line like this, it's 90 degrees, 80 degrees, 60 degrees. Someone can describe to you something in words, and you listen, and then you can understand what it looks like. And then someone will show you a picture. Huh, it's a triangle. Huh, what's there to talk about? That's where the word shmi is being used in the sense you're trying to collect information in order to know what we're dealing with. But shmi is sometimes in Chazal, and in fact, more often than not, means comprehension. It doesn't just mean a superficial understanding. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokein, Hashem Echad. When you're dealing with comprehension, a person that can show you a miracle, I can show you the greatest miracles, the greatest things. Okay, very good, I see it. I see it. Does it make an impression upon me? No, I'm not impressed. Why are you not impressed? Because you're a foolish person. A person, sometimes someone can describe to you a story, an event that happened, and you can be overwhelmed with Yirah Shemayim, an awareness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, through listening to a record of something which happened. So Shmia, when you take Shmia in the sense of comprehension, comprehension says it all. Re'iyah just means I saw. At Kriyas Yamsuf, the whole Klal Yisrael said, Zekei v'dyanveyu, ro'osa shivcha shmiya ma'shaloi ro'a yichezkel menbuzi. And 40 days later, what were they doing? What were they doing? Not 40 days later. What were they doing at what?
You can make the same case for Re'iyah. Does it mean
something
that's an image that your eye viewed?
I'm not so sure.
Or it means perception very often.
In Chazal do not say Re'ei Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Re'ei Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Why did Chazal
Re'ei? Yeah. That the case you're making for.
Yes. Yes. I understand what you're saying, but I don't think Chazal use it, and they don't use it as often in that sense.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, it's a good point. Okay.
Okay. The Malbim says over there that he actually showed him something.
Physically, okay. That's the Malbim. Okay, that's the Malbim. Okay, I hear what you're saying, but listen, we say twice a day, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. We don't say twice a day, Re'ei Anochi Nos Lefnei Chaya Bracha Uklala. The impression you get is that there's something about Shmia, when we understand Shmia in the reference to comprehension, versus just seeing, it has a certain depth. A certain depth. Even when Chazal say "Ein doime shmir l'ri'ia," okay, a simple shot is a picture. Vayishma Yisrael. Okay, simply a picture is worth a thousand words. Ein doime shmir l'ri'ia. Ri'ia is infinitely greater than shmir. That's when you take shmir in the sense of just listening to collect information and to know superficially what we're dealing with. But when we take the deeper meaning of shmir to mean comprehension. By Yishma Yisrael, Shma Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, and we contrast it to Re'iyah, even if you'll say Re'iyah means perception, Chazal say they're very different. Einoi doime Shmia L'Re'iyah. Another example. So you see there's something to Shmia. Einoi doime Shmia is in a league to itself. The point I want to make is we have here this word tifla. Tifla is the same letters as tefillah. And this example we had many times, the same letters with different vowels can mean extreme opposites. We have tefillah and tifla. Tefillah is the ultimate expression of communication with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Tifla is probably the ultimate expression of foolishness, nonsense. total nonsense. And that's what the pasuk here is telling about Klal Yisrael, about Shomron, Tifla. And take note that when we every single day daven, we conclude the 13 brachos of the middle of Shemona Esrei, Baruch Atah Hashem, Shomea Tefila. And here when HaKadosh Baruch Hu was saying that in Shomron, there's a lot of hanky-panky going on, it says, Ro'isi Sifla. I see Sifla. Different expressions are used in reference to different words. That's all I wanted to make. Let's go further. Hisnabu Vabal. The people of Shem, they give a prophecy Vabal in the name of the Baal. This Avodah Zarah we have so often, the Baal. Vayasu es amiyas Yisrael. They mislead. They mislead and they misguide my people. Let's see Pasuk Yudalid. Uvin v'e Yerushalayim v'isi sha'arura. Now we're shifting, we're going forward in time to Yerushalayim, and that's the time of Yirmiyah. I see Yerushalayim Sha'arura. Now Sha'arura is the parallel to Sifla. And what does Sha'arura mean? So the Mitzudos Tzion tells us it means Inyan Dovar Miguna, something disgusting, similar to Tifla. Look, if you go look at to the Tzion, Tifla, going back a pasuk, Inyan
Tifla is really hard to translate.
Inyan dover gorua mibli tam, something which makes no sense. V'chein v'lenosan tifla leilo kim. You have not given. I'm not even sure what it means in that pasuk. But here, when it says sharuri, it says almost the same exact thing. Dover migunis, something disgusting. What's the difference between dover gorua and dover maguna? I have no idea. But they're very, very similar. They both parallel one another. Then he goes on to say, I've also seen Yerushalayim Na'of, I've seen adultery, V'holech Bashaker, I have seen them go in ways of falsehood, V'chizku Yidei Mireim, they strengthen, they encourage the hands of the evildoers, the gangsters, L'vilti Shavu, that they should not do tshuva ish meira asai. Now tshuva, we all have the tshuva. When you say a person does tshuva, he's about tshuva. That's really a borrowed expression, because in Chazal, in Tanakh, when you say a person did tshuva, it means he went off the derech. That's almost always what it means. Oh, not all, but I think more often than not. And then this pasuk, levilti,
it could be all the way. It could be in some aspect.
Right, so that's why the more correct is Chayzer Beshuva.
Chayzer.
Right. Well, we borrow it. Tshuva means the person he turned away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and when we say that he came back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he's Chayzer Beshuva. He's Chayzer. He once again returned. It's like the negation of going off the derech. He came back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So here it's Levilti Shavu Ishmeiro. So the person refuses to do tshuva. Here it's used in the way we refer to it. Levilti Shavu Ishmeiro Asai. They encourage people, they strengthen evildoers not to return from their evil ways. Hayu Lichulam Kistoim V'yoshvecha Kamayra. They were all like Stom V'amora. A long list of complaints HaKadosh Baruch Hu was lodging against the people of Yerushalayim. One more time. There is Sha'arura, there is Na'oif, there is Sheker, there is Mechazek, Yidei Mireim, that they should not do Tshuva, there is Stoim and Amora. It's interesting that when it comes to Yerushalayim, there's a long list of complaints. When it comes to Shomron, there is only one complaint. Only thing we call them is Tifla. Tifla. Seemingly, that says it all. Tifla is an expression which is a catch-all. Whereas when you're a fool,
I can think of an example. The famous Rambam, where he says about teaching women Torah.
Yeah, it's tiflus.
So what does that mean?
I don't know what it means.
Or is it in something pointless?
Pointless. It seems pointless. When a person, you know, it would seem that tifla, you know, tifla is like it's foolishness. When someone is a fool, that's it. There's nothing more to discuss. When a person is intelligent but is wicked, then you have to elaborate and describe the wickedness, because there is a logic to his wickedness. There is a chokhmah to the wickedness. So therefore you have to describe in details all the various forms of wickedness. They did this, they are sharura, they are na'if, they're halach b'sheker, they know what they're doing. They're an evil genius. Whereas tiflos, there's nothing to talk about.
Is it not that Shomron was a capital city. It was a financial center. So we're talking over there, the Yituas, they fooled the people, whatever they did.
Yeah.
Yerushalayim, what were the Averis in Yerushalayim? Neo, Sheker, not doing tshuva. It was more of a spiritual...
There was chokhmah. There was more chokhmah in their wickedness. They were sly like a fox.
Organized crime.
A more sophisticated form of crime. Okay, so now there's a, let's see over here the mitzudos. These two psukim, the mitzudos. Start with pasuk. Start with pasuk Yud Gimel. Pasuk Yud Gimel begins with the Nevi'ei Shaim. Right in return to Laimar, Kamoy Shemei Oz, Re'isi B'Nevi'ei Shaim, Ram Dava Guru, Ram Ablitam. Just like I've seen back in the olden days, in Shaim Rain, Adava Guru, Ram Ablitam, V'zeu Ma Shenibu B'Shem Habal. What exactly were the sins of the people of Shaim Rain? They gave over prophecy in the name of the Baal. V'hissu Esami L'leches B'derech Ra'ah. They misguided them, they caused them to go in the evil way. Pasuk Yudalid, U'V'Nevi'ei Yerushalayim, return to Laimar, Cain likewise, ani roya b'nevi'ei Yerushalayim davar megune v'zehu shehema shetufim b'niuf. They are heavily steeped, deeply steeped in the niuf, in adultery. V'holchem b'derech sheker. They go in the ways of law of falsehood. U'machazikim yidei rishayim. They strengthen and encourage the wicked leval yeshuvu meiraosam not to do teshuva. Ki minabim lohem l'shalom. They predict that all will be well and there's nothing to do. Kulam kol b'nei Yehuda v'yoshvecha yoshe yishlaim. So the end of the pasuk, it summarizes both psukim. The end of pasuk Yudalid is summarizing pasuk Yud Gimel and pasuk Yudalid. Kulam, both Shaimrain and Yerushalayim, they are evil. Kistoim v'yoshvecha So I really didn't notice this when I prepared, is that he's comparing Shoimrim to Stoim and comparing Yerushalayim to Amoira. Isn't that interesting? We don't normally differentiate between the two. When Hashem destroyed Sedom va'Amora, we just group them together as one collection of cities, one region of evil cities. So it seems it's not so. It seems that they were different. There must be some Amori Chazal which tell us the exact differences between the nature about Sodom and Sodom. But it seems they were both destroyed. They were different. There was Sodom and Amora. And this pasuk is very interesting where it matches up Shoimrain to Sodom and Yerushalayim to Amora. Let us see Rashi. Pasuk Gimel Yudalid. Unevi'ei Shoimrain Re'isi Tifla. Now I have over here in my edition. Do you have? Is it a mistake? What do you have in your edition of Dibur Hamaskel? Pasuk Yud Gimel in the Rashi. Uvin Vie Shaimrain Reisi. What do you have there?
Reisi, and then followed by Tiflus.
Tiflus.
Well, we don't have it. Tiflus. With a
Tiflus. Okay, I have something very strange. Tof Pei Lamed Shin Vav Nun. Tiflushun. What does that mean? What, he had a different girsa? He had a different Mesoira? Or is it a mistake? I have no idea. Okay.
That's why they gave us this.
They changed. Okay, I don't know. You have to see what the old editions of the Radak, of Rashi, if he had a different Mesoira. Koidim Shagolu, I've seen. Now Rashi is just pointing out that Shoimroin does not exist at the time when Yirmiyah is alive. So if Yirmiyah is giving him a prophecy about Shem, what is he talking about? In Hanami it means Kaidem Shagalu. Pasuk Yudalid, Uvneviyah Yerushalayim, Ani Roye Ata. I see now Sha'arura. What is Sha'arura? Rashi translates for us, as did the Mitzudos, Davar Migunes, something that is disgusting. They strengthen the wicked. They say to the wicked, everything will be fine and good. That the evil people should not do tshuva from their evil. Let us see the Radak, Pasuk Yud Gimel and Yudalid, starting with Yud Gimel. Pasuk in Eicha, again the word Safel means foolishness, nonsense. V'leinosan Tifla, that was the pasuk that was quoted by the Mitzudos Tzion. Inyan davar gorua she'ein loitam, which has no meaning. Hainahinabu babal. We give examples. Who are we referring to? Who was the Roish, the leader of the Nevi Habal? Achav. the king Achav is the one that gets the credit for influencing Klal Yisrael to worship the Baal. Ki Achav Ovad HaBaal. V'kamu Nevi'ei Sheker Rabim Misnabim BaBaal. And many Nevi'ei Sheker rose up to worship the Baal. Shahayu Arba Meis V'chamishim Ish B'mei Achav. Shahargam Eliyahu. We learn from the Ma'as Eliyahu, it says in the Pasuk that Eliyahu killed 450 of the Nevi'ei HaBaal. Yachrei Chein Kabu Achidim Shaharag Yehu. And then there were more which were killed by Yehu. Yehu also, one of the Nevi'im, he killed the Nevi'ei HaBaal. V'heim Ho Yimatim Es Yisraelat Shagolu B'Avoinam. And even though they were killed, it did not make a difference. Ultimately, the Malchus of Yisrael was exiled by Sancheirev. Avol B'Yerushalayim Lo Kamu Nevi'ei HaBaal V'Avdu L'Baal Malach Yehuda. Ki'im Menashe only happened at a much later point in time. Did they begin to worship the Nevi, the Baal? V'achrei chein shav b'shuva. We know that Menashe b'sof yamav did teshuva. There is a question if his teshuva was accepted. Hinabu. Now we have some grammar lessons. Hinabu is chosar tov hatispoel. Okay, so this should be his nabu. The Pasuk should really say his. They caused his nabu. So his nabu, that this is what they did. This is an expression. His nabu. So why is the tav of the word missing? U'mishpatoi, that's the way it is. Sometimes in grammar you can knock off a letter. U'mishpatoi, his nabu. That's what it means. It means his nabu, that they gave over. They were active. They were activated. They gave over words of prophecy. Pasuk Yudalun Radak, Uvinivye Yerushalayim, Lo Hisnabu Baal. They did not prophesy in the name of the Baal. Elo Avul Chaysa Bohem Derech Ra. They were evil people, wicked people, naturally wicked. Shar Ra, Perish, Rasha V'lichloch. Okay, it means evil and lichloch. Kiniyof.
Is the Rishav a rearrangement of Russia?
Of Russia?
Yes.
Russia. Interesting. That's an interesting point. I don't know. It's interesting. Where does it come from, the word Sharura? You're right. I don't know.
Shri was the big. Yeah, that Shri was. No, that's the one that.
Rura.
Okay, interesting idea. It's a word with the letters are backwards. Okay. Niuf. Kamoy Shanema Vitzikyo Vachov, Yanaf West Nishere Ahem. It says concerning them, they committed adultery. Vaholik Vashaka, Shoyoimim Kidvashem, Kidvashem Bohem. They were liars. They told the people that they have the word of Hashem. Tichisku Yidei Chanufim. They strengthened the people who committed. They strengthened the people who committed which pasuk is this? V'chizku yidei chanufa. Okay, doesn't say that in our pasuk. I don't know where he's getting that from. Does not say this Dibur Hamaskel. It says v'chizku yidei mirayim. Here he says v'chizku yidei chanufa. Rasha unesoifanim, wicked people, people of favoritism, shehim meyapim lohem maseim, they beautify their ways, v'noisim pneim shlo lechicham, and they favor them and did not rebuke them, l'chol aretz, l'chol yosho, eretz Yehuda. Okay, now there is one point I want to make over here. There is an interesting medrash. The medrash over here says that even though in this pasuk we ascribe tiflus to Shomrayim and sharura to Yerushalayim, the medrash says, don't make any mistake about it, we have another pasuk in Tanakh that ascribes tiflus to Yerushalayim and sharura to Shomrayim. Let me read you the words of the medrash. Okay, this is an Eicha Rabasi. Eicha, Rabbi Eliezer Omar. Nemar b'nevi'ei Shomrayim tifla. Shenemar, the pasuk that we just learned together. Uvinviye Shemon Risi Sifla. Vinemar, don't make any mistake, it says Tifla by Yerushalayim as well. Vinemar Beneviye Yerushalayim Tifla. Hadahu Dhsif. This is what it says in Eicha Perek Beis Unviyaye Chazulach Shav Visafel. Okay, so that's really the part that was quoted by the Radak. The point of the area is that in Yerushalayim there was also Tifla. Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmeni Amar Nema Benevi'e Yerushalayim Sha'arura Shenemar Uvenevi'e Yerushalayim Reisi Sha'arura Venemar Bebeis Yisrael Sha'aruria. It says also Sha'aruria by the Malchus of Yisrael, the Tziv Sha'aruris Asisa Me'od Besulas Yisrael. This is a pasuk, we had this before, Parapod in Yirmiyah and Perek Yud Ches. So the manager wants to point out here is that these two expressions, whatever the deeper meaning of these expressions are, Tifla and Sha'arura, obviously they carry a certain connotation which I'm not familiar with, but whatever they carry, it was not unique only to the way it's presented to Yerushalayim and Shomron. Each one possessed the other. And indeed, this is Chazal in many places. They tell us that the Yerushalayim was heavily influenced by the sins of Shomron. They were heavily influenced. Now, what about Shomron being influenced by Yerushalayim? I'm not exactly sure about that. But it's seemingly, they probably went both ways. The fact the Pasuk says they had both, it must be that it went both ways. Look, on the Kinas and Tisha B'Av, we say it twice. We say twice the Kinas. The only Kinas that we say twice at night and by day is Ohalah the Ohaliva. Shomron, the last Kinas we say at night, and the Kinas we say at the end of the day is Shomron. And in that Kinas, there's a conversation. A virtual conversation between Ahalah and Haliv. Ahalah refers to Ahalah, that is Shomron, and Ahaliva is Ohel Shali, which is Yerushalayim, where the true Beis HaMikdash is to be found. And each one is speaking to each other, and they're saying who got a worse deal, who suffered more. On the one hand, Yerushalayim, the Chorban at the end of Yerushalayim was that much more intense. Mm-hmm. But on the other hand, Ahalah. But on the other hand, Shomron, they were exiled earlier. They were exiled about 150 years before the Churban, and also their exile was more permanent. There is a machlokes if the Aseres HaShvatim will ever be restored. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. Next pasuk, let's make sure I don't forget anything over here. Okay, next pasuk. L'chein, pasuk tes vav. L'chein lifar koyar mar Hashem tzvokas al ha-nevim ha-nevim. Hirni machi lo yisam la'ana. I'm going to feed you la'ana. La'ana is wormwood. V'hishkisim, I'm going to give you to drink mei rosh, a bitter, poisonous drink. Ki me'es nevi Yerushalayim yotza chanufa l'chol aretz, because it came forth from Yerushalayim chanufa flattery l'chol aretz. Let us see the mitzvot of pasuk tes vav. Kinni machi laschem ritzono leimar avi aleihem tsaros merubos ugedolos. I'm going to bring upon these prophets, I'm going to bring upon them tsaros. Rashi pasuk tes vav, there is none. Radak pasuk tes vav, there is none. Now, just what is the word chanufa? We have this many times. Chanufa stands in contrast to late sonus. Radak, which. Lochin, that's Tez Lochin. I don't have a Radak. You have a Radak? How does it start? Oh, I'm sorry. I was reading. I didn't realize the page. There's usually not Radak on this page. Okay, I'm sorry. Okay, I know we didn't even finish. Let's go back to the Dibur HaMaskel in the previous pasuk. I didn't read it. V'chizku yidei mireyim. Let's go back to that Dibur HaMaskel, the previous pasuk. V'chizku yidei mireyim. Shohayu oimim lochem shalom yelochem lefichuch lohoyu shav ve'rosam. The Nevi'e Sheker told the people in Yerushalayim, everything is going to be fine and well. There's no need to do tshuva. Levulti shavu shalosh shavu klamal him garmu lochem shalosh shavu. The Nevi'e Sheker caused the people not to do tshuva. We find this similar expression. The word levilti just telling us what levilti means, not to. Levilti ra'u. They said what they did not see. The Nevi'e Sheker, they made believe they had a vision which they did not have. Kistom ka'anshe sedom v'yoshrecha ka'moira. What? I'm reading Pasuk in the Radak and Pasuk Yud Gimel. I'm reading Pasuk Yud Gimel, V'yoshvecha ki'amoira, V'yoshve Yerushalayim, Ka'anshe Amoira, Kalema Hanavim Ka'am, The Nevi'im, Ka'am v'Ha'am, Ka'Nevi'im, Beresha, Uvamasim, Rahim, they're equally evil. The people, they all assist one another. Pasik Tesvav, Lachain, Machile Samlana, Avialayim, Tsara, Mara. I'm going to bring them a very bitter troubles. Kilana uchameirosh uhusam hamaves meirosh is poison. Chanufa, what is the translation of chanufa? The Radak says resha, wickedness, unisofonim, favoritism, shehim yapim lohem asayim, the Nineveh sheker would make their deeds of the evil people beautiful in their eyes, the noisim pineim shlolo hechicham, and would favor them, would compliment them, and would not give them rebuke. L'chol aretz, l'chol yoshvei haaretz, Yehuda, we had it before, means all the inhabitants. Now let's just take a step back. According to many commentators, when we review this, we mentioned this a couple of times in the past, but it's kedai to review, is that the word chanifa is in contrast to the word late sonus. These two words stand on the opposite end of the spectrum. Late sonus is where you take something which is choshev, which has true meaning and true value, and you degrade it. You make nothing out of it. You just say it's nonsense, it's a waste of time, it has no value. Chanifa is where you take something that is nonsense, something which is foolish, something which has no value, and you elevate it, you put it on a pedestal. When you see the contrast, it's much easier to have an appreciation for a word when you view the word relative to its opposite. So when you take these two words, there's chanifa and there is late sonis. Chazal say kol late seinusa asira nibar late seinusa di avodas kochavim. It is forbidden to belittle anything in this world. Every single thing in this world has true value, has meaning, has purpose. And therefore, even though to you it may not seem important, it is important. And don't take something which is choshev in the eyes of Hashem and degrade it. Except Avodah Zarah. Avodah Zarah is utter nonsense. It's an utter waste. It's utter falsehood. Therefore, you can take Avodah Zarah and you can make leitzanus. You can degrade it. You can diminish it. Chanifa is when you take something that's worthless, nonsense, waste, excrement, Avodah Zarah, and you do the opposite, and you elevate it to what, you make it something that is important. When you worship things that are total nonsense, that is chanifa. There's a very frightening medrash, and the medrash says that Hashem sent down to this world 10 measures of chanifa.
What's the old translation?
Flattery. Flattery. That's what flattery is. Flattery is you're flattering a person. You're nothing.
It's mockery.
And these two words are the two opposites. They stand in the two opposites ends of the spectrum. Now there is the Medrash says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent down to this world Hashem, right now. So the Medrash says that Hashem sent down to the world 10 measures of flattery. There is a nature in this world, to flatter, to give chashivas to things that have no value. Hollywood, to glorify total nonsense. Isn't that what it's about? Listen, you can't say it's total. Entertainment has its purpose. Chazal say that Ezeru ben Olam Haba, they were two comedians. People give simcha. There's no question about it. So kosher entertainment is extremely valuable for many people, to give a certain simcha sachayim. There's no doubt about it. It has to be kosher, of course. That goes without saying. But Chazal say what?
Uncle Moshe.
Listen, there's no question. There's chokhma. Chokhma v'amen tanen. There's chokhma in the world. And in the entertainment business industry, there's chokhma. There's no question about it. We've all, in our experience, have seen things that are mole chokhma. Unfortunately, there's a lot of dvarim ha'asur mixed in. So it becomes a very big problem. But, okay. But it says over here, asar, meaning over here, the ovois, the Rabbi Nassan, asara chalokim shel chanufa, Ba'olam. Who got none? Now this is part of a series of 10 things that Hashem sent down to the world. Probably the most famous is Sicha. Hashem sent down to the world the Koyach of Dibor. And who got 9/10? Women. Noshim took 9/10 of Sicha, and the rest of the world got. So this is part of the series. And also Yoifi, Hashem sent down 10 measures of beauty to this world. And who got 9 measures? Yerushalayim, Eretz Yisrael got. And the rest went to the rest of the world. And one and part of this list is Chanufa, who got 9 portions? Yerushalayim. Very shocking. Yerushalayim, this is the nature in Yerushalayim for there to be flattery, and the rest, the echad b'chol ha'olam. How could you say such a thing? How could you say such a thing and say that Yerushalayim has a tendency in Yerushalayim for the people to give value to things that are truly worthless? This pasuk. The Medrash quotes the pasuk that we just learned, that Hashem sent down, he's going to curse all these, the Kimei Esat, Nevi Yerushalayim, through the Neviya Yerushalayim, Yotze'ah, Chanufah, L'chol Ha'aretz. It is from them, and it's explicit. The Nevi'i Yerushalayim, they gave forth. It seems the ramifications of what they have done 3,000 years ago are still present throughout the entire world. Chazal say there is Chanufa. Now, indeed, I mean, I'm not familiar with all the details, but they say that the biggest apikursis in the world is to be found in Eretz Yisrael. That's what they say. That's what I've heard. They, whoever the they is. They're Yerushalayim. And the reason... Is it true, is it not true? I don't know. But there is something to it, because if Yerushalayim is the place of the... What is Chanifa? Chanifa is to take a dove that's garbage, that's nonsense, and to elevate it. Where would you have a Yetzer Hara to do something like this? The only place where you'd have a Yetzer to do like this is the place in the world that is the real thing. The only place in the world that is more real than real is Yerushalayim. It's the Mokum of the Hashras HaShechina. It's the place where Hashem's Shechina is resting. There's nothing more real, nothing more valuable than Eretz Yisrael, specifically Yerushalayim. So in such a place is where the Yetzer Hara is strongest. Zeh l'uma zeh bara Elokim. You see, this Chazal has much more meaning when you know the precise meaning of Chanifa. When you know that Chanifa means to take something which is worthless and to elevate it and say that this is the most important thing, that's what Chanifa is. It makes sense why there would be a Yetzer Hara in Eretz Yisrael, because Eretz Yisrael indeed is the place of the world where there is the true Yesh, the true value, the true chashivas. So then people and things that have no value try to equate themselves with what is MS, and that is what Chanifa and Chanufa is all about. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. Pasuk, new section. Pasuk, Tes Zayin. Koyam Hashem Tzavokas Al Tishmol El Al. Al, we already know, we had so many times, Al should be substituted with the word El. Do not listen Al to El. The Divrei Hanavim, Hanavim Lochem, that give over words of prophecy. Why not? Mehabilim Hema Eschem. This is a very nice word. I don't think we have had this word before. What is this word? Mabilim. So here in the art scroll, they translate as deluding. They are deluding you. It comes from the word Hevel. Hevel. Havel, Havelim, Akol, Hevel. Hevel. But we never had the word here in the verb form. I don't think we have a havel havolim akol havel. This is a very unique expression when you take the word havel and you transform it into a verb. Me ma ma bilim hema eschem. Look what it says in the Mitzudos David, Meloshon Hevel. They are deluding you, Eschem. And again, this fits very well into the word of Chanifa. It's a very nice continuation of the previous pasuk of Chanifa. Chanifa is where you take something which is nonsense and you elevate it. Distort reality. Okay, so Mabilim Heim Eschem, Chazoyim Libam Yidaberu, they tell you the visions of their heart. Nonsense. They tell you they saw a vision, and there's no such thing, there is no vision. They saw the vision, it's all inside of them. Loi Mipi Hashem, what they say did not come forth from Hashem. Next, Oimrim, they say, Oimrim, Omar limna atzai. Now the word limna atzai is an interesting word. It means to those who anger me. Lashon of niutz, provoke. Interesting that the Nazi party. Nothing is a coincidence. This has been said by other people. Nothing is a coincidence in this world. And the fact that the Nazi party, Yimach Shemam Zichram, was called a Nazi, it's mamish from the word in Tanakh, Minatzai, those who anger Hashem. So, what? Chomos? I think they know that. They did by choice. That wasn't even an accident. that they chose. Chomos is one. I mean, they know. It's an acronym.
It's an acronym, right?
I know, but it's not a coincidence. It's not a coincidence that this has become part of the language, and nothing is a coincidence. Mina atzai, those who anger Hashem. Oimrim Omar. So the V.A. Sheker, they recite, they give over words, Lim Na'atzai, to those who anger me. Here it's referring to people in Klal Yisrael, the sinners, the Jewish people who are not following Hashem's will. In other words, they are encouraging them. They are encouraging them to continue in their evil ways. Diber Hashem. Here is a quote. And now the pasuk goes on to quote exactly what the Nevi Sheker say. Diber Hashem. Hashem said, Shalom Yelachem. Hashem said, peace will be to you. Continue in your merry ways. Nothing to worry about. You can continue stealing, robbing, committing adultery, and doing all these evil things, and you'll be fine. V'chol halich b'shrirus libo. And to all those people who go in, their stubbornness of their heart, or the uprightness of their heart, that's a synonym over here for the Mina Atzai. This is a parallel to the Mina Atzai. Amru, they say to them, don't worry. Lo'isavo yaleichem ra, nothing to worry. Now, Pasuk Yitches concludes with a very, very nice, interesting, new idea that we have not yet had. Yirmiyah says, these guys are phonies. Yirmiyah over here, for the very rare occasion where he says, listen, I'm the real deal. You people are a bunch of phonies. Ki mi omad besoid Hashem? Is there anyone over here who of these false prophets who really has entered into the counsel of Hashem, who is a true prophet, has seen the secrets of Hashem, the Yireh, has seen the Yishma Estevaro. Notice three different, when describing a prophet, we always look for secrets to understand the nature of prophecy. And this pasuk reveals three different characteristics, three different experiences. There is to stand in the Sod Hashem, there is to see Hashem, and there is to hear Hashem. Stand, see, and hear. Three different forms of experience that are required for a prophet. Estuvishmas Devaro, Mihikshiv Devaro, is there anyone that has hearkened to his word? There's some repetition of Hikshiv verse Shemea, the Yishma, and heard it. A third, so really it says we're hearing three times. Vayishma es devaro, then hikshiv es devaro, vayishma, and heard. Three times, what repetition I do not know. Let's see if we have these people, these took them together in the Mefarshim Pasuk Tezayin, first in the Mitzudos Tavit. Al divari, we already explained this, it means el divari. So says Hashem, do not listen to the words el divrei. Mahablim, oimim lucham divrei hevel, they say to you words of futility. Chazoin libam, maris libam yidaberu. They speak the words of their heart. Ki loyro b'nevuah rak boidim b'libam. They did not see anything. They just fabricate things from their heart. Oimrim, they say words. Oimrim omar, they say words. The word omar in this context means words that to those who anger me. Regilum heim loymar laharashoyim ha'menatzim. I see. The Hamanatzim. Hamanatzim. I have a mistake here in my edition. They put a comma in the wrong place. Hamanatzim, I see. Hashem Diber Shalom Yelochem. Hashem has spoken, peace will be to you. I shall mark off all the mistakes here and send it into Art Scroll, and will give me a gift.
No, they don't.
What? They don't?
No. They don't.
They don't even acknowledge.
They do. They do know. They can
I
mistake
it. A bunch of things in the time, they never acknowledge.
Yeah. I heard Rav David. I heard that Rav David Cohn. This is many years ago. Rav David Cohn. So he's a genius of geniuses. So he gives the Daf Yomi. He gives the Daf Yomi with the Arshul Gemara on purpose. And as he gives the Daf Yomi, he's a genius. He can right away. He can read up all the notes instantly. It could take hours. He just gobbles it all up as he's giving the shir, and he finds a lot of mistakes in pshat, in grammar. And every mistake, he immediately writes, and when he finishes the volume, he gives it to them and says, here are all the mistakes. I've edited the volume for you. I heard this like a long, long time ago, so I don't know. What? I once read a write-up on, I think the Sforum blog. The Sforum blog is a very critical blog, very, very critical of it, and they had very high praise for Art Scroll in regard for their ability and their willingness to correct mistakes. They're willing. Everyone has mistakes. No one's perfect. But a lot of publishers, they say, for all the publishers that they deal with, that they're aware of, once you publish something, it's very hard in the next edition to go to change something. They claim that Art School, they're very willing to correct in new editions. What? All right. Whatever. Let's go forward. Shalom uchal ha'olach b'shuos le'olach. Okay, next. Pasuk Yud Ches. Pasuk Yud Ches says, ki mi amad, no san tam lama lo yishma alehem. Yirmi over here is giving a reason why you should not listen to Nevi'ei Sheker. Ba'amra ki mi me'el amad b'sod Hashem l'chabal is nevuah. So is there anyone among these Nevi'ei Sheker that has stood in the council of Hashem to accept nevuah? Umi ra ma'arois ha'nevuah. Has anyone over here seen the ma'arois ha'nevuah? Umi me'em shama es devara ki be'hiyoysam rishoyim einim ruim l'nevuah. Because when a person is a rasha, it's a given, you're not roy for nevuah. Mi hikshiv amnan. Mi shehikshiv devara. Okay, now I understand the pasuk and appreciate this. He's saying about himself. He's saying the end of the pasuk is not repetition. The end of the pasuk, according to the parashah, the students of here is coming to explain the only one that is entitled to say of a prophecy is himself. He's coming here over here to toot his own horn. Yirmi over here is coming to mechazik himself that these people, they're fakers. They were not amad b'sod Hashem. They're not yevi yishma es devaroy. He's saying like a rhetorical question. Who is worthy to be a prophet? Me. Who else? Me hikshiv devaroi v'yishma. Who is the one that hearkened to Hashem's words and listened? Me. And therefore, when I tell you something, pay attention to me and do not pay attention to the Nevi'ei Sheker. Let's see Rashi. Rashi pasuk Yud Zayin v'chol uli si l'cholach b'shuos libo v'gomer v'luchol cholach uluchol. Rashi here says that you should add a lamed. You're missing a lamed in the pasuk. It's not v'chol uluchol, to all those who have gone b'shuos libo. Umi amad b'soyd Hashem v'yishma es hanigzar milufanav. Also, who is the one that has entered in the council of Hashem and has heard that what was Nigzar? Also, it's only he, Shehikshiv Diber Torasoi, the worst, and listen to the word of his Torah, Vayishma Lemitzvaysa, Veloy Laharishoi Mo'ela. Rashi is addressing the same exact question. And Rashi over here is saying over here is that the entire pasuk is a rhetorical expression, but the second Shemiya is not referring to the Shemiya of prophecy. The Rashi learns that the second Shmiya is listening to the mitzvahs of the Torah. You don't need to be a prophet to listen to what it says in the Torah. The first Shmiya in the pasuk is listening directly to Hashem speak to you, a prophet. And the second Shmiya ha'acharona, the second Shmiya means the acceptance of Hashem's will, the acceptance of Hashem's mitzvahs, Torah u'mitzvahs. This is the way Rashi learns. Obviously, it's a little bit different than the mitzudos. The mitzudos who learn, so the pasuk here seemingly refers entirely to listening to the word, the words of prophecy. Let's see the Radak, pasuk Yud Zayin, pasuk Tezayin, starting pasuk Tezayin. Koyamar al. El Akoyamar Hashem Tzvokas al Tishmu, do not listen al Divrei Nevi'im Kamo el Divrei Kvichayin Vayelich El Kona Haramasa al Beiso. It doesn't mean al Kamo el Beiso Vinitan HaSefer al Asher Lo Yoda HaSefer. It means Kamo el Na Ma Bilim. They are teaching you futility. Mifatim eschem b'divrei hevel. They are enticing you with words of futility. Loimar to say shalom yilchem ki hachazoyin shebohem shehem oimrim milibam hu lo mipi Hashem. The vision that they give over from their hearts is sheker. Pasuk yud zayin. Oimrim omar. They give over words hamakaruhu b'roiv koidem hapoyel. Okay, so here he's over here, coming over here. The makar comes before the verb. He's saying over here, the words over here should be reversed. If you were writing this pasuk according to the strict rules of grammar, you would say, Omor Oimrim. Words are said. Yet in this pasuk, it's the reversed. It's reversed. Hamakar, which means the noun, Hu Biroiv, most of the time, Koidem comes before Hapoal, the adjective. So therefore, in this, if you would expect to say the Omor Oimrim, these words are said. V'chasher yavar achare apoyel, when you have a situation where the verb form, the adjective, comes after the noun, like in this instance, why did the pasuk do something different? It's teaching you something. It's trying to give you overall a meaning, a message. Hu l'chazek hapu'ula. It adds more emphasis on the expression, on the adjective. They don't just say it. They say it with conviction. They don't just say it once. They say it multiple times. Kamo, for example, Vayivarech Baruch Eschem. An example in Yoshua. There also the adjective comes after the I don't know, it's not really the noun, the Baruch. It should say there the first Baruch Vayivarech. The blessing they blessed. But it doesn't say that. It says Vayivarech Baruch. They blessed a blessing. So the words are reversed. And therefore, there in that pasuk as well, the meaning is, they gave a very great blessing. They didn't just give an ordinary blessing. The blessing was magnified. Likewise here, the Nevi'e Sheker didn't just whisper the false prophecy. The false prophecy was given over with an intensity. V'chol ha'lech b'shus libo, k'mo v'l'chol u'l'chol. You have to eat a va'alamid. Exactly what Rashi said. There's a missing alamid in this expression. Alamid l'alamid limnat sa'ay shezochar. So when it says here in this pasuk, limna atzai, so that lamid serves for the following word, when it says v'chol. Oimrim omor limna atzai. They give over words to those who anger me. Diber Hashem, they say to them, the words of Hashem are, shalom yelochem. V'chol is missing lamed. U'l'chol. So the lamed of limna atzai, that lamed has to be repeated and stuck into the word u'l'chol. We have a lot of grammar lessons here in the Radak. Okay, pasuk yitchetz ki choki ki mi amad ki mi mehem shama b'sed Hashem etzolema b'sed anavua ve'eich yaymu ki diba Hashem itam. How can you dare say that Hashem spoke to you, a bunch of liars? V'yere perish b'mar hanavua. These people, they say that they stood in the council of Hashem and they see words of prophecy. A prophet is someone who is a chazoin, who sees things. The yishma harishoin b'havav b'shuvo havav yashin b'patach havav. It says here in this passage the word shema twice. The first time it's the yishma. There is a shva under the vav, and the second time it's va yishma with a patach. And according to the Rashi, he's not explaining, but according to Rashi, we said that it's a different meaning of shema. The first time it means to actually listen to Hashem speak to you in the form of prophecy, and the second time when it says va yishma, it's to listen, to understand. Shema Yisrael haskes, so Shema Yisrael is to understand Hashem's mitzvahs. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk Yutes. It's a very mystical pasuk. This pasuk is a pasuk that describes what happens in Gehenna. Hine, Saras Hashem, the storm of Hashem is chema, Saras Hashem kama. So is the nature of Hashem's storm. Chema yotzo, fire, anger goes forth. The sahar and a storm, a tempest, mischoilel. Now the word mischoilel has multiple meanings. The simplest meaning, according to Rashi, I believe, is mishtaken. Look at Rashi right away. Mishtaken means to come to rest. It's an unusual word. I guess it comes from Lashon of Chania. No, there's no nun there. I take that back. I'm not sure. But Rashi says mischoilel, it means to rest. A tempest will come to rest, to descend al roish rishaim yachol. Yachul, I guess, Yachul, that's where Yachul and Mischoilel are similar. They share those same two letters, Ches Lamed, Chal. Chal means to come to rest. Literally, there's a poetic repetition in this pasuk. Hashem says, behold the Sara, the storm of Hashem. What is it? The storm of Hashem is in the form of fire, Chema, anger, Yatzah. Pesar Mischoilel will come to rest, Al Rosh Kama, Al Rosh Rishoim Yachul will come to rest on the head of the Rasha.
Okay, Mishtagesh.
What does the Mishtagesh mean?
Sedreit, I think.
Sedreit? What does Sedreit mean? What does that mean? To churn? To churn?
Yeah, yeah.
To churn. Okay, so I think that's what the Mitzuda says of Lashon, of a woman who is in labor. Labor pains. A woman who is in birth pangs, having birth pangs, so she's churning inside. She's convulsions. The muscles are moving back and forth, back exactly. So the targum is learning. It means going back and forth. It means there's movement, just as like a woman who is in labor. There is movement in her womb. Let us see the Mitzudos David.
Whirling storm.
Mischoilel. It's whirling coming from the expression of a woman.
The center of the storm
is swirling. To swirl. Look at the Mitzudos David. The Mitzudos Tzion. Mischoilel miloshen chel v'chal chala, which means birth pangs. Chel v'chal chala is swirling or birth pangs. Okay, let's see the Mitzudos David. Pasig Yud Tes. Chema yotza. Teitze b'chema Ovar b'mokim osid. It's in the past tense. Chema yotza. Teitze chema. It means the future. That's very common. That you have the words are interchanged. The past, especially in prophecy, that's as if it already happened. Even though it's in the past tense, yotza is in the past tense, but it didn't happen yet. But that's the nature of prophecy. From a prophet's perspective, whatever will happen, it is as if already it happened. Because when you are having prophecy, you are connecting to Hashem, and Hashem is in the category of Hoya, Hoyve, V'yeh. Yudke Vavke is the Aramaic of Hoya, Hoyve, V'yeh, so therefore whatever in the future will happen, already happened. The Sar Mischoilel, Hasar Hazeh Hu Mole Mischalchal Mis. It is filled, this storm, this tempest is mole, it's filled with pangs, with chalchala v'rat, terror. Tar is terror, and chalchala means pain and terror. V'hu yechal v'shoich, in the end of the pasuk says yochoil, it will come to rest, al roish harishoim v'el, upon these people who are the people who came, these are the nevi'ei ha-sheker. So it's clear that according to the parashah, it's over here, when the first word over here, mischalel of chel v'chalchala, pain. The nature of this tempest is going to be a very great source of pain for the wicked people. Let us see Rashi again. Pasuk Yutes Mischoilel Mishtaken. It does not mean pain. It means to come to rest, like the word Yochoil. Mechazer Lishkoin. It will seek out a resting place. V'al Roish Rishoim Yishkoin. It will seek out a resting place and it will come to rest upon that of the Rasha. Let's see the Radak. Pasuk Yutes. Hinei Saras Hashem Chema Yotzo. Ovar in the past tense. B'mokim osit, like what it said in the Mitzudos, kiderech hanavois. B'mokim osrabim, that's the nature of prophecy. We always speak, we speak, we speak in the We've got to give this a rest for a second. We said it. We speak in the past tense. Ki devar Hashem b'nevuah kayim ki ilug nase. The prophecy in the future, as if it was done, v'nevuah hazos asid li'mos ha-Mashiach, refers to what's going to take place on the Mashiach. Yoz yichlu choreshoim kulam. All of the wicked will cease to exist. V'yamar zelinyin al-divir nevi ha-shekar Hashem ki kvar omar Hashem ki yasa mishmobohem. Referring to the ha-shekar, Hashem already said he's going to do mishmobohem. Kishkmo shnemar him nimachal esam lano. V'yamar af al pish ein ha-kel kulam, even though Hashem did not do mishpat against all of the wicked, hine yomim boim shetetze saras Hashem. The day will come when the storm of Hashem will go forth and finish them off, those that have not been destroyed. Chema yotza, the chema teitzei osa hasa'ara, that storm that was mentioned in the beginning of the pasuk, will go forth with a fury, milifnei hakel, v'tachoil al harishayim, and will rest upon them ad kaloisam. Now he goes back to explain v'sar mischoilel, kofal ho'inim l'chazek hadaba, there is poetic repetition. V'yonasan tirgim mehefrish na'at b'nehem, shetirgim sa'ara mazofisa, the tirgim sar mischoilel ve'alul mishtagash. Okay, I don't know what these words mean. I'm sorry. I don't know what this means. V'inyan mischoilel v'yachol inyan nefila v'chaniya k'mo yachulu al rosh yoyav. It seems that he's saying that according to the parish of his parish, he's learning like Rashi. Rashi takes the word mischoilel and says it's the same exact thing as yachol, which means it's going to look for a place to rest, and it will come to rest upon the wicked people. Seemingly, maybe according to the Targum, he's coming to point out that the Targum disagrees, and the Targum is following the interpretation of the Rad of the Mitsudos, that it means that the Sa'ar, the storm, is going to be a storm that's going to be very painful, very violent, very violent and painful. So we have two different interpretations of this pasuk. To conclude with a very interesting Maimar Chazal. Did you ever hear of the Nahar Dinar? Does anyone know what that is? The Nahar Dinar is a Kabbalistic concept, and it is Gehenna. It is another word for Gehenna. The Rishoyim are going to be drowned. Ooh. They're going to be drowned in this place called the Nahar Dinar. Now, what does Dinar mean? I don't know what Dinar would do.
New river of fire.
Fire? Yeah. Fire. Okay, so now where is this? Now, here's the very... Now, where does this river come from? In the Olam HaEmes, there's a river called the Nahar, the river Dinar, you're saying to the fire. Who created it? How did it come into existence? So, it's a Gemara. Okay, Daf Gemara, Daf Yomi. Chagiga Daf Yud Gimel. The Gemara says, Nahar Dinar Nafik, it goes forth Mizi Oson Shel Chayois. They are the Chayois HaKoydesh, Vihu Aifanim, Vichayois HaKoydesh. Misnasim Masir Ofen. So the Chayois HaKoydesh sweat. You think only we sweat? It's not easy carrying the Kisi HaKavod. The Chayos HaKodesh are in charge of transporting the Kisi HaKavod. They sweat. And when they sweat, it gives forth Zeah. Those drops of sweat fall, and they form what is called the Nahar Dinar. And who is immersed, drowned in the sweat of the Chayos HaKodesh? That is carrying the Kisi HaKavod, the wicked people. Ulehechon Shafich, where does the sweat of the Chayos HaKodesh descend? Omar Rav Zutra Bar Tuvio, Omar Rav, Al Roish Rishoim B'Gehenem, on the heads of the wicked Gehenem, and the Gemara Mesech Chagigo quotes this pasuk that we just learned. Shenemar, Hine, behold, Saras Hashem, the storm of Hashem, Yotzah goes forth, the Sa'ar Mischoilel, the storm is turbulent, is violent, and it descends Al Roish Rishoim Yochoil. So this is the Makar, this Pasik, according to Chazal's eyes, is the Makar for the Nahar Dinar, which our Mechol has taught us comes from the word Tinura, which means fire, and the Gemara reveals it is form from the sweat of the Chayos HaKodesh. Here in Rabbi Yechiel Michel Stern, Sefer, Perish on the Midrashim, on Yerim Yor, he cites a very fascinating Ramah Mipanoi. The Ramah Mipanoi explains what the Ramah. The Ramah Mipanoi says something very fascinating. What in the world is going on over here? So he equates the Kisei HaKavod of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to the Aroin. The Aroin in the Beis HaMikdash, in the Mishkan, was in the Midbar, was carried by who? By the Levim. Now the Aroin, modern calculations would if you make the amount of gold, the gold and the weight of the luchos, the calculations would result in a weight that would be humanly possible to be lifted. There was so much gold in the Aron and the Kruvim and the weight of the luchos, the Evan Sapir, and it was only carried, it was carried by four people, four Levim, four Kohanim or Levim. It's impossible. There are no four people in this world that we know of, even the biggest bodybuilders in the world, can carry what the weight of the Aron with the Kruvim and the Luchos inside. So how then were they able to transport the Aron 40 years? The answer is they didn't have to do nothing. Aron was Noisei Es Noisav. So, if, this is what the Rabbi Pano says, if the Luchos, the Aron, was Noisei Es Noisav, so Al Achas Kama V'Kama, the Kisei HaKavod does not need the Chayos HaKodesh to sweat and carry Hashem's Kisei HaKavod. If the Aron carried the Noisav, so Al Achas Kama V'Kama, a billion times over, Hashem's Kisei HaKavod carries itself. So why was it necessary for the Chayos HaKodesh to carry it? So the answer is, in a Chanami, the Chayos were there for show. It was just there to give cover to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to give cover it. So why was it sweating? So the Rambam Mipano says, we have a principle that when Moshe Rabbeinu came down, I'm elaborating a little bit, when Moshe came down from the Mahar, and he was carrying the Luchos, and he saw that Moshe couldn't carry the Luchos, it was too heavy to carry. But when Moshe saw them worshipping the eagle, so Toshash Koichoi, so the Oisiyos Parchois Ba'avir, so it was no longer a spiritual tablet, it was Gashmias, it was too heavy. He couldn't carry it. He broke the luchos. It wasn't that he shot the luchos by choice. He couldn't carry it anymore because once the luchos, oisius, parchos, ba'avim, the melu was just too heavy to carry, so it shot it by itself. It's the same thing with the Aron. The only time they were able to carry the Aron in the Midbar was when Klai Yisrael was oisim mitzvah shalmakim. If Klai Yisrael were not doing oisim mitzvah shalmakim in the Midbar, they just couldn't carry it. It was not possible during the time of the misoinim. They tested Hashem 10 times in the Midbar. During the 10 times they tested Hashem in the Midbar, were not able to carry the Aron. The Aron didn't move, didn't budge, because the Aron was noisiest noisav. It is the same thing with the Kisei HaKavod. When Klal Yisrael are no longer, if they're not doing the Ritzoinoi Shel Mokaim, they're not doing Hashem's will, so then Kaviyachol, from our perspective, Hashem's Kisei HaKavod gets stuck. It gets stuck. It doesn't move anymore. The weight becomes Kaviyachol, a physical weight. And who's left carrying the weight? The Chayos HaKodesh. And the Chayos HaKodesh can't carry it. It's too heavy. So what do? They sweat. And when they sweat, they drip with sweat. And what is that sweat? That sweat forms a river. Who deserves to enter into that river? The ones who caused the Chayos HaKodesh to sweat. Because the Chayos HaKodesh are not supposed to sweat, because they're not supposed to be doing anything. The Kisei HaKavod is Noisei Es Noisav. It's only when the Rishoyim interfere with the Rotzon of Hashem, so then Hashem's Kisei HaKavod gets stuck, it's not moving anymore. It turns into the equivalent of, in this world, of dead weight. And when it's dead weight, then you have to actually carry it. And the Chayos HaKodesh are too weak to carry the weight of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so they begin to sweat. And that sweat forms a river. But the tzaddikim don't have to go into that river, because the tzaddikim, they would be the ones who would relieve the weight from the Chayos HaKodesh by doing the Ritzoinu Shalmakim to allow the Kisei HaKavod to be Noiseyes Noisav. It's only the Rishoyim that caused this process to happen. And that's why the Rishoyim have to go into the sweat of the Zeya of the Chayos HaKodesh in what is called the Nahar of Dinoiv. I never ever thought I would ever give a shiur on Be'ov, but here we have him here, a pasuk in Yirmiyah, a gemara in Chagiga, and a very fascinating Rava Mipano. It fits into the Luchos. Interesting type of Torah. All right, we'll stop over here.